Well, summer is here, and for students and for parents, I don't think that there is a better feeling than the end of a school year. When I think back to when I was in school, whether it was elementary school or middle school or a high school or college or even seminary, when a semester or a school year ended, it was the greatest feeling in the world. Everything slows down a little bit, and for those of you that still have kids at home and students, for you guys, the focus shifts a little bit, right? The homework stops, the test stops, for mom and dad making lunch every night for the kids to take to school stops, the carpools, listen, all of it. It's a great feeling when summer rolls around because the focus is able to shift a little bit. And for us in our home this summer, we've got some goals and some plans to keep our kids focused on areas of their lives where they can grow over the summer. We're going to have a ton of fun. That's always up high on the list at our house in the summer, but we don't want to miss the moment either. For example, one of our kids is really excited to get stronger this summer. He wants to lift weights. He's got some athletic goals laid out in front of him, and he wants to use the time to get stronger. And as he told me this, I love it, right? I'm all about him getting stronger because at the end of the day, I think we'd all like to be stronger. I don't think I've ever heard anyone articulate, hey, my goal in the next 3 months is I want to get weaker. Never heard anybody say it out loud, right? Stronger is always the goal. And as we've prayed about our time together in here this summer, that's our focus and our goal. Spiritually speaking, we want this summer to be focused on getting stronger, right? We want to really focus and lock in so that we can grow stronger in our walks with Jesus, in our daily lives, godly living, right? At the end of the summer, we don't want to look back and think, what happened? Where did all of that time go? No, we want to look back with gratitude, knowing that God worked in our hearts and that spiritually we're stronger, that we have grown in our Christ-likeness. Now, that kind of spiritual growth that we're shooting for this summer, it doesn't happen by accident. We're going to see this morning in God's Word that He calls us to make every effort. In fact, if you're taking notes this morning, that's our title, Make Every Effort. If you have your Bible, open to 2 Peter chapter 1, and as you're turning, just a brief background. Right, this is a letter from Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He writes it to a church family, just like Ephesians. We've been in the past few months. It was written to a church family from Paul. This now is a letter from Peter to a church family. And as we explore the focus of it, we're going to see that it's all about how to walk out what Jesus has done in our lives. And specifically this summer, we're going to take chapter 1. And we're really going to drill down on several aspects from chapter 1 each and every week. You'll hear from me some. You'll hear from Pastor Jarrett as he comes over some to the North Klein campus. Several other pastors on our team over the course of the summer. But today, though, we want to really flesh out the context of the passage as a whole so that we can build on it over the summer. And here's the main idea of this chunk of verses here. We're going through the first 11 or so verses. It's got two parts. I'll say it twice, and then we're going to flesh it out together. The first aspect of this is Jesus has given us everything we need to live a godly life, right? Everything that you need to live like He's called you to live, He's given it to you, right? It is yours in Christ Jesus. And the second aspect of this is the fact that we confirm our relationship with Him by reflecting His character in our lives. So to put it simply, He's given us all we need to live a godly life, and our godly life confirms that we're His, right? Our godly life confirms that we are, in fact, children of God. As we look at this, here's what we're going to see. The way that we live our life matters because it's a reflection of our relationship or our lack of relationship with Jesus. Peter wrote this letter to a church family in a time where there were false teachers in the church, and they were leading people astray, essentially teaching this. They were saying, hey, listen, you've been saved so you can live however you want, right? It doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how you live or how you act. You can just go do whatever you want. Don't worry about listening to what Jesus said. Well, listen, if we have read Scripture, and we have, we know that those false teachers were wrong. Jesus is very clear all through the Gospels, but especially if you look at John 14, Jesus says, hey, listen, my disciples, the ones that really do love me are who? the ones that do what I say. Jesus is clear on that. And so with this false teaching out there, Peter points them back to the truth. He doesn't give them some new teaching or new idea or a new approach or a new strategy. He points back to the gospel. That's what they needed then, and that's what you and I need today. As we face an ever-changing world with new ideas and new teachings that are contrary to the teachings of Jesus, we don't need a new approach. We need our hearts refocused and recaptivated by the gospel. Look with me starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's just saying, hey, this is Peter, and I'm writing to believers, right? Church family, we are all before God as children of God. Together, I'm writing to you guys. Verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. If you're taking notes, our first point, it comes from verses 3 and 4. It's this: Jesus has given us everything that we need to live godly lives. And when we look at the gospel, when we look at Scripture, that's the goal. This was all through Ephesians the past several months. In Ephesians 4, 1, live in a manner worthy of the calling. In Ephesians 5, 1, as a beloved child of God, imitate God with how you live your life. That's the goal for children of God, right? A life lived that is honoring to our Heavenly Father, a life that imitates the heart and the character of our Heavenly Father. Make no mistake, how we live our lives reflects our relationship with God. It matters. What you say and do, it matters. That the choices you make, the thoughts you have, the way that you conduct yourself at home with your kids and your marriage and business with your neighbors, our lifestyles, our very hearts, it all matters, and it should be a reflection of our relationship with Christ, not a reflection of the ways of this world. I get it. It can feel tough sometimes, like this wrestling match going on inside of us. But here's the encouragement from verse 3. Look at it. Jesus has given us everything that we need to do this. Specifically, his power has given us everything we need. Break down the flow of verses 3 and 4 with me together. Just sort of look at that. We know that our goal is godliness, right? A godly life before our Heavenly Father. The source of the strength that you and I need to live that godly life, it's in God's divine power. It says it right there. The connection between the power of God and our goal of a godly life, it's right there. Look in verses 3 and 4. It is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the promises of God. So the power to live, how we're called to live, we see it comes through knowing Jesus, right? That's it. If you underline things in your Bible, underline in verse 3 right there. Through the knowledge of him, everything that we need, it comes through our knowledge of Jesus. Now, the Greek word there for knowledge, it's different than some of the other words used for knowledge in Scripture. Right there, the Greek is epignosis, which means a full and intimate relational knowledge of another person. Right? This knowledge is a personal knowledge, a knowledge that shapes your heart and your mind and your personality through your connection to, relationally, with someone else, right? It makes sense here. The knowledge of him that we read about in verse 3, it doesn't mean that we can recite his bibliography off of Wikipedia, right? It doesn't mean that we're going to win a trivia contest about him. It means that we know him personally and intimately in a growing, active, vibrant relationship with him as our Heavenly Father. And here's how this ties together. You have everything you need, everything you need. You are lacking in nothing to live a godly life through God's power at work in you that you only have because of your intimate relationship with Christ. So listen, as believers, we see here that we grow stronger as we intentionally strive to know Christ more. Knowing Jesus, that's it. Right? It's so simple here in these verses. But a lot of times people miss it, and here's how they miss it. They think about knowing Jesus, and they point back to this one moment in time where they trusted in Christ as their Savior, where they got saved. For me, I was 13 years old. And so they'll point back to that moment and say, that's when I came to know Jesus, right? But here we see that knowing Jesus, yeah, it's a moment that is followed by a lifetime pursuit, right? Once we step into a relationship with Him, we get to spend the rest of our lives growing and knowing Him more and more and more. And as we do, what happens? Verses 3 and 4, His divine power continues to give us all we need for life and godliness. We lack nothing if we've trusted in Christ. We have all we need in Jesus. In verse 4, we see that it's not only all we need for life and godliness, it's all we need to escape the sin and the temptation of this world. I love this. God doesn't invite us into a relationship with Him through Jesus and say, here's now how I want you to live, try your best and good luck. He doesn't say, here's how I've laid this out for you to live a way that is honoring to me. Now fend for yourself and just figure it out. No, He's with us day by day, knowing us and us knowing Him so that we can grow stronger. Look at how this begins to flesh itself out starting in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Our second point this morning is this: use the power of God in you to grow stronger. Verse 5, it begins with the phrase, for this very reason. What's the reason? Right? Well, verses 3 and 4 is the reason. The fact that God's called you to live a godly life and has given you His power to make it happen as you know Him more and more. So, because you know Him and are growing in Him and His power is at work in you, what do? Verse 5, supplement your faith by developing these godly characteristics in your life. We're going to walk through each one of these characteristics over the course of the summer. This morning, my goal is to hit knowledge and talk about it a little bit. I drilled down on the previous point about knowing Jesus intimately and relationally. I'll point to knowledge a little bit more in this overview. But before we dive in to hit each one of these characteristics the next several weeks, we need to get the context to make sure that we get the order right. Verse 5 says this, make every effort, right? And we do that because God has already worked in us. Understand, at the beginning of the summer, God has started this. It's His power that's given us all that we need. Don't sit in here in a few weeks when we talk about self-control and think, oh man, I need to work on my self-control so that God will love me more. That's not it. Don't sit in here when we talk about godliness and think, I've got a long way to go on godliness. I've got to really tune that up so that I can earn God's love and approval. If you think that way, that's backwards. You are getting it wrong, right? We see here that God has already done the work in us. He's worked first. He's made us His child. And now all of this that we see, this strengthening of these godly characteristics, it flows from the love that Christ has already shown us. Think about a marriage relationship, okay? Massive difference when a husband doubts the love of his wife and works really, really hard to try to make her love him. And when a husband is blessed with the full confidence and assurance of his wife's unconditional love and then lives a response worthy of that love. You see the difference there, right? Working to earn love and living from a response of someone's love. Peter's point is this: God loves us. God has made us His children. As you know that, you're going to live from the response of that love through His power with all that you need to live a godly life. a life that we see here. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness, steadfastness, brotherly love, and affection. The command here, it's so simple in verse 5. Put effort into it. Put effort into these characteristics in your life. Work not for love, work from God's love. Understand that your life matters. Your choices matter. Your godly character matters. I read a quote this week that connected with me. It said, when it comes to these characteristics in our life, that we should have a holy dissatisfaction with our present reality. Think about what that means, a holy dissatisfaction for where we're at. And all that means is this: we should never get to a place in our life where we think, you know what? Faithfulness, check. I've accomplished all I need to do there. I'm done. I'm going to move on to something else, right? Godliness, check. Checked it off the list. I've done all the growing in my life that I'm going to do. I'm going to move on to something else. That's not the goal here, right? Well, we should be growing in all of these until we meet Jesus face to face. It's a big deal, right? So think about it like this. Here's a rephrasing of verses 5-7. Okay, you've trusted Christ and placed your faith in him. You have a knowledge, an intimate relational knowledge of Jesus. So stand strong in him. Apply yourself diligently to grow in moral excellence. And as you do, you won't be content. You'll press on in your daily knowledge of God's word. And as you do, you won't be satisfied. You'll work hard to master self-control. And as you do, the peace of God will envelop your life and you'll grow in your patience. And then you'll assure in your heart and life that you're more godly every single day. And as that happens, you'll show love to the church family. And that love will overflow from the church family out into all people. That the call is to growth. Through the power that comes from knowing God, to grow stronger by developing these godly characteristics in your life. This is a call to action. This is a call to move forward spiritually and not to drift. We know that drifting through life can be a dangerous thing. Years ago, Chelsea and I, we were on vacation at the beach without our kids for a couple of days. And it was meant to be a relaxing couple of days. But we've learned that when we go to the beach, Chelsea and I relax very differently. She relaxes by laying on a beach chair and reading or napping or reading some more or napping some more. I have found that I can't relax that way, right? I have to get up and I have to move around a little bit to feel like I'm relaxing. And so she's relaxing and reading, and I decided to get up and move. And so I got a snorkel and a mask, and I went out into the water to explore and just see what I could find underwater. And I started on one end of the beach, and I'm just sort of floating with my face down in the water, exploring and seeing what was there. And the current was moving a little bit, and it was perfect. I let the current take me. I was drifting, and I was fine with it for a moment, as it just sort of carried me along looking at different things. Well, as I drifted, eventually I drifted into the strongest, I think, riptide that I have ever been in my life. And very quickly, I was being sucked out into the ocean. And I'm a strong swimmer. I'm very comfortable in the water, but I was a little bit panicked and scared about what was happening. I'd never felt water like that. And so I'm calling to Chelsea on the beach, trying to get her attention to say, hey, if I can't get back, you're going to have to send somebody out here for me to get me in. She wasn't bothered a bit. She didn't notice. She was drinking her Diet Coke and reading her book and blissfully unaware. I'm fighting this current out there. I was drifting. Drifting led to danger. Listen, it was a real thing. I lost my snorkel out there. I lost a flipper out there. And finally, it kicked in. I swam sideways to get out of the rip current. That's what you're supposed to do, by the way. I swam sideways to get out, and I had a much, much longer swim back to the shore than I anticipated that day. The point is this. Drifting is dangerous spiritually. If you're a Christian and you are just floating through life, not putting effort into these spiritual, godly characteristics that Peter writes about, I'm telling you, you are not going to stay in the same place. The currents of this world are strong. We learned last week in Ephesians 6, we have an enemy. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. His goal is to ruin us spiritually. And he has set up the currents of this world to pull our hearts away from Christ. And so if we disobey this command to make every effort, we're going to drift. We're going to float. And I'm telling you, you will never float into godliness. Verse 5, this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a neat idea. Make every effort to grow in godly character. Don't make one effort and then give up if it's a struggle. Don't make a half-hearted effort. Make every effort, not every excuse, every effort to grow in your faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. It matters. The rest of the passage tells us why. Look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So growing stronger, we see our third point, it keeps us fruitful and keeps us focused. Verse 8 is clear here. Growth in these areas of our life, it keeps us from being unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Go back to verse 3. That's where the power is for believers, right? It's in the knowledge of God. Well, without the power of Christ in us, there is no spiritual fruit in our lives. And not only is there no fruit in a spiritual sense without this growth, verse 9 says that we're blind and that we have forgotten, right? We're blind. We're nearsighted. When we look out into the future, if we've lost this, when we look out into the future, the promises of God, that they're not clear because our vision is clouded by worldly longings. And it says we've forgotten. When we look to the past, we've forgotten what God's done, right? That the lack of growth in a relationship with Christ makes people miss out on the joy or forget the joy they experienced in forgiveness. Spiritual drifting we see here is incredibly dangerous. It affects the entirety of our lives and it shapes our future. There's not one of us that would read this and purposefully choose this, right? Nobody would say, you know what, I really love Jesus, but I think from here on out, my choice is to be ineffective and unfruitful in my relationship with him. We would never say that. None of us would ever say, you know what? I think when it comes to my spiritual life and the spiritual life of my kids or my grandkids or my family, I think moving forward, I'd prefer not to be driven by God's promises. Right? Instead, I think I'll fly blind. I'm going to forget what he's done for me and what he promises to do for me. That's silly. Right? None of us would say that. But if you look at these verses, when we don't make every effort to grow in our faith, when we don't make every effort to grow stronger spiritually, when these godly characteristics aren't growing in our lives, essentially that's the choice that we're making. We're not going to drift accidentally into a stronger faith or into godliness, that the currents of this world, we've already said it, that they're too strong. So the command from Scripture is make every effort to grow towards Christ. And here's the reality. Our growth reflects our relationship with Jesus. Or it reflects a lack of a relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 10 and 11. That's what we see. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Just say salvation. Be all the more diligent to confirm your salvation. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fourth point from this text this morning is this. Growing stronger confirms that we are His. Growing stronger confirms that we have a relationship with Him. These are some big verses here. You see why this matters, right? Our lives ultimately confirm our hearts. Our actions reveal our reality. When we see the danger of drifting, that the danger of verses 8 and 9 of being blind and fruitless, that should be a warning sign that there's something off in our relationship with Christ if we're blind, if we're fruitless. Or it should flash the lights that maybe we're not saved at all. Now, pause there. Listen. This letter was not written to make people doubt or question their salvation. Let me just say that, right? It was written quite the opposite in mind, right? God wants us to have confidence, to know, to have assurance that we are His children. He wants us to have confidence in our reality, confidence in His promises, confidence in our salvation in Him. That's why in verse 10, look at it. It doesn't say, hey, doubt your calling. No, it says confirm your calling, right? Be diligent to confirm it, to make sure of it. Well, how do we do that? Go back to verses 5 through 7. Make every effort to grow in Christ's likeness, right? God saves us. Our good works don't save us. That's the consistent teaching of the New Testament over and over and over again. We cannot save ourselves. It is not good works. It is only by grace through faith. God is the one that does the work in our hearts. But here's the deal, right? We're also consistently taught in the New Testament that our lives confirm our salvation, right? That our fruit of our lives reveal what God has actually done in our hearts. And so Peter's writing here and he's saying, hey, listen, church, right? Make sure that you have the power that comes from knowing Jesus. Make sure that you're growing in your Christ-likeness. Make every effort to ensure that you're fruitful. It really does matter. At the end of the day, you can look at your life with joy and with confidence that your faith in Jesus is real. He's saying, check in your heart and make sure that your faith is real. Your life confirms your faith. And when you have confidence and whose you are, and who you are, you live with this renewed sense of joy and peace and purpose, and there is nothing like knowing that you are a child of God growing in your relationship with Him. Some of you have asked, so I'll just say, I've lost a little bit of weight recently. I knew that it would be a good thing to do. I knew that I needed to do that. And I finally got serious about doing it. And so I talked with a buddy, and we got together, and we laid out a plan that worked for him, and he said that it would work for me. And so I made every effort, right? I was diligent with this plan that was laid out, and I was going through it. And you know what I did? I didn't just work the plan. I evaluated the plan. Right? I would step on the scale to see if something was happening. I would try on clothes to see if something was happening. I made every effort, but I examined the fruit of the work as well. Spiritually speaking, as we read this, we should evaluate our growth. We should evaluate, are we making every effort? And if we are we getting stronger? We should be asking ourselves, are we drifting with this world, or are we growing in our relationship with Christ? Are we becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Does your growth in Christ's likeness confirm that you are, in fact, a child of God? The calling of a Christian and the living of a Christian go together. Again, when this letter was written, false teachers were saying, hey, listen, if you're a Christian, don't worry about it. You know how this ends for you, so just sort of get out there and sin as much as you want, do whatever you want. That's not the teaching of Jesus. But there's people today that have adopted that same attitude as those false teachers in the first century. They live how they want, they do what they want, and that's not what Jesus has called us to. So here, Peter gives us a heart check. He reminds us that our lives confirm our call. And I've said it twice, but just to make triple sure so that nobody gets this backwards or walks out if you're hearing the wrong thing. Our lives confirm our call. They do not earn our call. We don't work on these characteristics really, really hard in order to be saved. No, we grow in godliness, and it reveals that we are, in fact, already saved. 1 John 3:14 reminds us of that. We know we've passed from death into life because we have love for the brothers, right? The heart work from Jesus goes first, and then it's poured out in our lives. growing stronger. It confirms that we're His. As we confirm our salvation, look at verse 10. We see that we will never fall. And when he says never fall there, he's saying we will never fall away from Christ in the face of false teaching, where we reject Jesus up until death. Where he says that when our time here is done, because we have never fallen, because we've never rejected Jesus, we'll enter into the kingdom of Jesus. The falling, just to be clear, that Peter writes about, he's not talking about making a mistake, right, or committing a sin. He's talking about falling away from Jesus and rejecting Jesus till the end. So we confirm our calling. As we grow stronger spiritually, he writes, this won't be said of us. Mistakes, though, mistakes are going to be a part of my life. And they're going to be a part of your life until we meet Jesus face to face. Peter knew what it meant to fall. He knew what it meant to make a mistake. But he confirmed his calling by getting up and getting stronger. Don't ever forget that before Jesus was arrested and went to the cross, he was with his disciples. And Peter makes this bold declaration, I'm never going to leave. I'm never going to fall away. I'm never going to deny you. Well, Jesus was arrested, and three times before the next morning, Peter very publicly denied Jesus. Right? He made that mistake. He knew what it felt like to make a mistake. But he knew what it felt like to get up as well. After the resurrection, Jesus and Peter had this conversation where Jesus tells Peter, be strong. Your faith is going to strengthen the church. Your faith is going to spread the gospel around the world. And here's why I go back to Peter's past, to his mistakes. It's because I know that me and you, that we're going to make mistakes too. Right? So don't get discouraged, right? Get up. Don't give up. Look up. Put your eyes on Jesus. The command here to make every effort, it's not a command for perfection. Right? It's a command for growth in Christ's likeness, to make the effort each and every day to grow in our relationship with Him. And so that's what we're going to do over the course of the summer. We're going to take these characteristics, right? These characteristics that should be in a godly life. And we're going to explore them. We're going to make every effort. We're going to pray that God would grow them in our hearts over the course of the summer like He never has before. And here's our application for this morning that'll set us up for the summer and for the teaching series. You can write these down. You can take them with you. Think about them. Really pray over these in your own heart and life. There's three questions. The first is this. Am I making every effort to grow in Christ's likeness? Am I making every effort? Am I drifting, letting the world take me wherever? Or am I intentionally making the effort? Number two, are my eyes open to the power of Christ in me? We know that that power comes from knowing Jesus and knowing the promises of Jesus. Am I aware of that in my life? And then number three, does my life reflect someone that's saved by grace? Does my life confirm or point to a relationship with Jesus? And we're going to take the summer to really drill down and answer those questions. And my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, is that no matter where we find our hearts this morning, and I'm sure they're all over the place, the prayer is that this summer we would grow stronger together. Would you bow with me this morning? As your head's bowed, eyes closed, think about God's word. Think about the command to make every effort to grow in Christ's likeness. And then just take a minute to evaluate your heart. Where are you at with that? Or if you're making every effort right now, I didn't say if you're perfect. I said if you're making the effort right now, and ask God for the continued strength and encouragement to grow spiritually, to chase after Him, to draw you closer. And if your honest assessment of your heart and life this morning is that you're not making every effort, well, commit to Him. Commit. God, moving forward, I'm not going to get this right all the time. I'm not going to be perfect, but God, I'm going to do my best to make every effort to grow stronger in my relationship with you. It probably means spending more time in the Word. It probably means more time in prayer. It probably means on focusing on the fruit of the Spirit in your life, or of even evaluating these characteristics from 2 Peter chapter 1 and just putting them up against your life. And here's the deal. As we look into God's Word reveals areas where we need to grow. That's going to be the case for all of us this summer. He's going to reveal those areas for growth. And so now, just in this moment, if you already know what some of those are in your life, turn them over to Him. Ask Him to help you grow like only He can. Make every effort, but know that you're making that effort with the power of God inside of you. Just a minute, we're going to stand and sing one more song. As we do, our pastors are going to be down here. We'd love to pray with you about this. Maybe you just need to come forward and commit. Hey, I'm going to make every effort. Maybe there's an area of your life where you know you need to grow. You want to pray about that. Maybe it's something else entirely. Maybe someone's sick. Maybe you're in need. Maybe you've got a friend in need. Maybe you've got a friend that doesn't know Christ. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know that before you can do any of this, that you need to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe it's baptism. Whatever God's laid on your heart this morning, don't leave here today without spending some time in prayer over it. Heavenly Father, we love you and trust you. God, we pray that you would work in our hearts through the knowledge of Jesus and the promises of Jesus. God, we pray that you'd work in our hearts, that you'd help us to make every effort to live a life that is pure and honorable and honoring to you, God. We want to live out what you have already worked in. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.